Now, we've got a very special guest here for you, my dear friends, Dr. Saud Anwar, former town councilor and former mayor of South Windsor.
But he's your current town councilor, right?
And former current mayor town of South councilor
right.
And former mayor of South Windsor. How long were you mayor? 2 years?
I was there for 2 years.
Two years. Well, interesting. Next Tuesday, the 25th, evidently this Swap Coffee and Conversation series is quite popular.
And this is going to be the second one. Doctor, how about telling our audience
yes.
about this?
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome.
And the South Windsor Alliance for Progress will have their second event this Tuesday. Around 7 p.m., we are going to have a conversation on immigration and immigration-related policies and the implications of some of the policies coming up this Tuesday. It'll be in the South Windsor Community Center, located on 150 Nevers Road in South Windsor.
And this is going to be a panel discussion?
It's a panel discussion, and we will have the community and everybody invited. The panelists, I'm very excited to report, we have some excellent panelists. And we'll have some important conversations. One of our panelists is actually the executive director for IRIS, which is the Integrated Refugee and Immigrant Services, and also the president of the Connecticut Immigration and Refugee Coalition, Bob Fishman. And we have community members as well, who are others who are going to join us as well.
You know, Doctor, one of the things that we find out all the time here on this program is that folks are not against immigration as long as the folks that are coming here are legal citizens. They are
They come here legally.
Yeah. Come here legally. This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But they are definitely opposed just to let immigrants in. That's what we get all the time.
So what do we need to know about this?
Yeah.
Well, so I think this is a good starting point, is that there are a lot of things that people on all spectrums would agree on. One of them is that we all agree that people should come here legally. We all agree that anybody who's undocumented, who's involved in criminal offenses, should not be part of our communities. Who's involved in violent criminal activity. We also need to acknowledge the fact that our system is currently broken and the status quo should not be acceptable. Now, to add to the things that we would agree to is that our economy is not moving in the right direction to the level that it needs to. So I think these are some of the areas that everybody would agree on. Now, let's go a little deeper into some of the challenges. One of the things that I think we as a society have not come to grips with yet is the demographic challenges that are around the corner. Now, if we look at what's happening, everybody knows about baby boomers, but there is going to be a baby bust that's coming. From the year 2025 to 2045, there will be unprecedented number of deaths in the United States of people just from aging alone. We have never seen that many that are anticipated.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
If the immigration issue is not appropriately solved between 2025 to 2045, we may see a reduction in our population in the range of 67 million people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a reality that we have to be cognizant of.
Here's what we get from our audience and from a lot of other people too. And our guest is Dr. Saud Anwar. He's in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair. And that is, aside from the felons who have come to this country illegally, who have committed serious crimes, we also hear from people who say, what about anybody who has come to this country illegally? Why should they be suddenly made citizens or be come out of the shadows? Why shouldn't they be deported? What do you say to that?
And we pay for their education, and we pay for this. That this is what we hear.
So I think let's look at it. The undocumented immigrants, they make up for $11.6 billion worth of taxes. So while they are undocumented, they're still paying taxes, whether it's sales tax, whether it's property taxes, and so on. If you look at the studies of these undocumented immigrants, they are not using the services as much as they are paying into the services. So according to various data that is out there, it is, in the worst case scenario, it's a wash from financial perspective, or it's a gain because their usage of services from the federal government and the state have been relatively much lower. So that's one component, but we also need to recognize that there is an economic opportunities that are created from this. Now, why would somebody become undocumented? And I think you need to go a little deeper into this. There are three broadly safe or appropriate legal ways of becoming a citizen. One of them is through your family members. Two is because you're highly skilled labor. And third is through refugee mechanisms. And all of the three have such a long waiting line that it's not possible for somebody to sit there and be waiting forever and ever and ever for that slow process within our government to follow through. As a result, the people who have their families here, who have their children here, they're sort of stuck in a situation where they're waiting for such a long time that they go out of status. According to some data, 40% of the undocumented people are because of this very reason. And if I was to put myself in the situation that if I have young children and I'm actually waiting for the legal process to come through, but the legal process isn't working, I cannot leave the children alone and go to an environment where it is actually dangerous, life-threatening for my children. And that's, I think, what's going through the minds of a significant proportion of the people.
So, but doesn't that still leave 60% who say, you know, this system is broken, so I'm going to cheat it and enter the country illegally?
That was the question.
So the ones who are actually doing this on a illegal manner or breaking the law perspective, I think there needs to be a broader strategy for helping out. So these people are working. So we actually have to realize that our society, many of our businesses are addicted to cheap labor. And whether it's on the farming end or some of the other opportunities that are there, people are working in these areas. And I think the opportunity should be, so maybe they don't need to become citizens at this stage, but they need to have some documented papers so they can actually continue to work at some level so that our economy continues to move in the right direction. Our economy is dependent on our immigrants. That's a reality. Now, we also, one more thing is the U.S. dependency ratio. It is moving in the wrong direction. In other words, the number of people who are not productive are increasing, and the number of people who are productive are decreasing. As a result, the sustainability of all our economic opportunities, infrastructure buildup, as well as pensions, are going to be threatened in the next 10, 15 years if we don't use our minds and hearts to work in a way to solve these issues in an appropriate manner.
Our special guest, Dr. Saud Anwar, town councilor in South Windsor and the former mayor of South Windsor. And we are talking about immigration. And they have a program in South Windsor, Swap Coffee and Conversation, about different subjects, and this is one of them.
And it's going to be on Tuesday night, next Tuesday, April the 25th, at the South Windsor Community Center, 150 Nevers Road. Doors open at 6:30. Panel discussion on immigration from 7 to 9 p.m. And, Doctor, there's no charge, right?
There's no charge. Just bring your minds and your questions and learn and listen, work with us.
What do the folks say? What do you hear? The President of the United States, Donald Trump, many are after him because of his philosophy on America. And there are those who say that he wants to protect America because we've got some bad actors in this country that have got to go.
So the way I look at this is, and I'll put my doctor's hat for a second, I think there is an anxiety in our society that is there. This anxiety is because of our economic opportunities are becoming less in our society in some respects. And people are anxious and they feel the easiest answer is to try and identify somebody to blame. So first of all, we have to work with the facts with a thinking hat on and then look at what we need to do and what is the best thing for us for the next 5 years, next 10 years, next 15 years and beyond. So first of all, there are bad people in every community, but the number of bad people like criminal activities within the immigrant community actually looked at every single data and it has been looked at is less than the non-immigrant communities. So that data is there and it has been looked at multiple years from 1896 to the current time. It's been looked at multiple times and there's no data to suggest that the immigrants are more likely to be dangerous to the larger society.
Yes, but there is a segment.
There is a segment, okay. No doubt about that. But and that segment, I don't think there's going to be a disagreement that if somebody is dangerous and threatening to our society, we need to, as a society, take a stand on that. But we don't make an entire policy around a few people. And I think that's where we need to start to look at
it.
But
there's more than a few.
proportionately, there are few than the larger society. So, in other words, if we were to divide the society into the immigrants and non-immigrants, the proportion of the immigrants who are violent criminals are less than the indigenous community, if you will.
How has policy changed under President Trump?
Well, the mindset has changed. So there has been a highly emotional. So the election process itself and the policy has been highly emotional against the immigrants, which is allowing the people who have had anxieties about immigrants to become quite open. They feel emboldened to actually dislike and show their anger or hatred towards the immigrants in some respects. And I think that is actually hurting the fabric of our society. It is not us versus them. It is all about us as a society. And we are made up of immigrants. That's a reality. So now some people are newer immigrants. Some people have been immigrants for a few generations. But every immigrant community has built our society, built our community, built our country, and made us the economic powerhouse that we have been. The sustainability of that requires to continue that process in the appropriate manner.
But what the public will say is, and we all recognize we're a nation of immigrants, but that the immigrants came to this country legally.
Yeah.
What would
they
you say
came
to that?
Through law and order.
Or did we always have an element that came into the country by illegal means?
So, there were people who came when there were no systems in place way back when the legal systems were not there. They did come, quote unquote, illegally at that stage. The ones who are coming now are because of the fact that the legal systems have been blocked and slowed down to the point of non-existence. And that is actually part of the challenge that we are seeing. So we need to have a comprehensive strategy. Think about it. You are trying to go to a grocery store. You're trying to take care of your family's needs. And you're waiting in the line for 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hour, 5 hours. Of 24 hours later, the line isn't moving and your children are crying. You're in trouble. What are you going to do? You're going to try to figure out a way to help take care of what needs to be done. I'm not justifying it, but I'm trying to allude to the point that the existing system is failing us. Existing system is failing America, but also the people who want to follow the laws.
The next question becomes, Doctor, and we're talking with Dr. Saud Anwar, can we develop a system? Supposedly, we had solved this problem in the 1980s when Ronald Reagan, working with the Democrats, formulated a plan to handle immigration, and apparently it didn't work. Can we come up with a system that works?
Well, we have become a very partisan society in the last many years. So it is not going to be that easy to fix this. But let's take off our hats of Democrats and Republicans and wear the hats of Americans and look at what is up ahead of us. If we cannot pay our bills, if we cannot take care of our society, if our workforce is not even there to take care of our existing businesses, we have to fix this. We have no choice. Either we fix it under a disastrous situation in the next 5 to 10 years' time, or we start to fix it right now. So, yes, we'll have to do this, and it'll require everybody to shed their egos, shed their anxieties, and look into it in a practical manner. I would say even don't look at it from an ideological perspective, just from a financial perspective, just from an economic perspective, and then look at it, and the answer will be same, that we need to have a better system for allowing people to come in.
So what you're saying, Doctor, in a way is that we can never really solve this problem that is part of America now. We can't solve it the way the majority of people want it solved.
Yes, because that's not going to be healthy, but at the same time, we have no choice but to solve it, and the way to do this is to actually come around a table for an appropriate conversation and start to look at the facts, and then take the emotions out of it and look at the facts.
Okay, so let's remove the emotions for just a moment. Let's say there's amnesty, green card status, or full citizenship. How does that benefit the economy?
Well, first of all, these individuals will then even be able to get higher taxes that they will be able to pay, because right now a lot of these people are not being paid the appropriate amount of salaries, and men, they are not able to pay the level of taxes.
They're getting paid under the table, in other words.
In some respects, yes. And there is an abuse that's going on. So, again, there are corporations and entities that are using them in an inappropriate manner. And then we need to actually get the people out of the shadows and be a part of the legal system. And when they are, they're documented, they are actually paying into the society and taking care of our needs for the government functioning.
So then, in a way, what you are saying is these particular immigrants, it's not all their fault, because there are businessmen and women in the United States that want to have cheap labor and aren't paying them what they should and would get if they were citizens.
Yes, that's what you're saying. Everybody is part of the that is one part of the issue too. Yes, absolutely.
Again, review, Doctor, what's going to happen on Tuesday night. Run us through the scenario, the panel. Are you going to moderate it?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Run down the whole scenario.
So, one of the things we have not talked about is the refugees.
Okay.
And I think we're going to have a conversation about the refugees as well, because that is, again, an emotional issue for a number of people who are saying that, why are we allowing refugees to come in? So the issue is, that's a legal way of people coming in. Refugees, when they come to the United States, they are actually legal residents, and then they become citizens. Now, that is the part that actually we need to recognize, that these individuals truly don't come here for a better life. They come here for a life. They're and their families, part of the families have been murdered, killed, and many of this, we in part of Connecticut, we have had generations of refugees who have come, and they have actually made a huge difference in our economy, but our society, and enriched it. And at this time, when people are against the refugees coming in, they need to actually look at the facts around those issues. So I think those are the conversations we'll have. We'll actually have some refugees speak about their experiences, what they had endured in the past, and what are they doing to make America a better place for everybody around them.
I think programs like this, Dan, like this, should be in all towns in Connecticut.
Well, I mean, we need to educate
Seriously.
Everybody.
I mean, but we can disagree, but we can learn something, too.
The yes. As you know, the political landscape right now is so divisive, you almost take a chance in doing something like this.
Yes. And I think the value of having these conversations in communities is that, you know, while if you look at Washington, D.C., we look very divided, but in the neighborhoods, we are not that divided. We really actually are neighbors and friends, and when we sit down and have a conversation one-to-one, you'd be surprised that we agree on more things than we disagree on. And I think that's why, rather than taking a top-down approach, we need to take a bottom-up approach to solve the issues of our country.
Which is the purpose of swap coffee and conversation.
Absolutely.
That's terrific. We have about a minute left, Doctor. Anything else you'd like to add?
I just want to thank you for allowing me to speak, and I think this is important.
We're going to have you on again.
I'd love to be here.
No, we got some more things. We have more things to talk about. And we got to get the word out.
Absolutely. Thank you for this opportunity, and I look forward to having more conversations on even more challenging issues.
Swap coffee and conversation, immigration rights, identifying current changes in immigration policy and the impact on our communities. That's going to be next Tuesday, April 25th at the South Windsor Community Center, 150 Nevers Road. Doors open at 6:30. Panel discussion 7 p.m. to 9 p.m.